Five geeks, five opinions, one podcast, Nerdgasm Network, where we do nerd shit.
Welcome to Nerdgasm Noir Network. It's me, Dee, and I'm here with JP and Melissa, and we're here to talk about nerd shit. How you slags, what have you slags been reading?
We were supposed to do a review today, so I've been reading a comic book, so that's what I've been doing.
Good. It's good to know that you're up on your homework that you assigned to us.
The homework I assigned to y'all. You know what? You ain't have to put me out like that. You know?
No, it was. You picked the thing for us to review. That's what we do. Somebody goes, hey, let's review this thing. And then we, like, it's not like you're like the like a bad teacher where you're just like, read this and get out of my face. Like, I don't mean it like that.
I think she did.
I didn't. But anyway, welcome to Nerdgasm Noir Network. It's me, Dee. I'm here with JP and Melissa. Of course, we're here to talk about nerd shit. Before we get into anything, because I always do this late because we start talking about stuff, and then I'm like, oh, shit, we have a website. That website is nerdgasmnoir.net. What can you do on that website? Well, you can listen to our episodes. You can listen to us live when we're on live on Tuesday nights. You can find a phone number that you can leave a voicemail. You can also follow us on all social media that you can possibly think of that's not MySpace, because nobody likes Justin Timberlake that much. Or you can find out how to put us on your iTunes, how to put us on your Stitcher Radio, or how to take the RSS feed and use whatever other form of RSS reader you use, like maybe a Zune. Rest in peace, Zune Media Player. Cues up. I really miss my homies. But anyway, moving on, ladies. How are you?
I am good.
With a T? Good.
Good.
What about you, Melissa?
I am swell.
Oh, fancy.
I know.
Did you guys do anything exciting this weekend? What? Nothing really exciting happened in Nerdery this weekend, did it?
Not to my knowledge.
I'm trying to think. Like, there was no... Was there a movie trailer or a TV show or something?
Well, like, it wasn't this weekend, but there's been that Marvel Attack on Titan crossover.
What?
Yeah, you ain't hear... I swear we talked about this.
It sounds vaguely... Oh, wait, we did talk about it. Wait. We either talked about it or me and you just talked about it. But I remember hearing your voice talking about it and you being extremely excited. I feel like, though, I would have... Maybe I just saw it in the Google Plus community, though. Who knows? Could be. But yeah, I don't know. Nothing really exciting happened this weekend. No movies, no trailers. I mean, the full trailer for Jurassic Park came out, or was that last weekend?
I think we talked about that last week, because I remember, yeah, no.
Yeah, huh, yeah, no. Nothing interesting happened over the weekend. Oh, well. Anyway. I'm doing well. Huh, I really feel like there's something I'm forgetting. But it's going to drive me nuts. So, anyway, moving on with the actual show. Did we get some feedback over the week?
Yes, JP? We got a lot of feedback on our Twitters. So, so this is about our previous episode. 178. I was about to, I forget, we just put out an episode. No,
you're on episode 976. Right. It feels like.
178 about black nerd respectability. We got something from the Dutiful Virgo. The last RT of that episode, Nergasm, compliments Nani Cool J, which is the tweets. IRT earlier, black nerd, special snowflake dumb, won't save you. Wake up, y'all. Exactly.
Oh, Yeah, that was, I kind of sort of maybe possibly not went off, but had a moment on Twitter. So you guys have heard about the Darian Hunt thing, right?
Uh-huh.
Basically, if you don't know, Darian Hunt is, he was a black guy in Utah who was at a convention. And he, you know, he was in cosplay, and he was shot in the back 6 times by police, and they're claiming it's because they thought he had a weapon. Now, mind you, he had a cosplay sword in his back. I don't know if you've ever tried to kill anyone with a cosplay sword. I haven't, because that would be illegal. But it would be a very difficult task. Very. Also, why did you shoot him in the back? Like, it's one of the many cases that have come to light, so to speak, lately about police, specifically their interactions with black people and how they seem to be so very shoot to kill with us. And I kind of had a moment on Twitter because I was pissed off, because one of the things that you will see, and this goes back to the Black Nerd Respectability Politics episode earlier, like Dutiful Virgo said, a lot of times with nerds, when shit like this happens, they'll kind of just brush it off, or that some will even be like, well, maybe if you didn't act like whatever, if you didn't act like insert stereotype of black person here, you know, you would have better interactions with the police. But this is like definitive. This is, should be like, I don't understand why you would think that, because he was a nerd. He was one of us. And he was at a convention, a place where, and he was in cosplay, a place where you would go to dress up and wear fake ass swords. And he was shot in the back 6 times. Like, obviously. And then there was no indictment for the cop who shot him. So obviously, this idea that if you act respectable, if you're a nerd, if you do this and you do that and you're black, you won't get treated badly, it's not true. And I just kind of went on a rant on that on Twitter. And I think I just went on a rant on that again.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, yeah, anyway, moving on.
So, I had a lot more feedback, but I let you roll because it was important. So, Inda said, just caught the Peaky Blinders mentioned on Nergasm from last week. Cillian Murphy, Noah Tyler, and Tom Hardy, I'm there. Yep.
I'm here for Cillian Murphy. About to go watch that shit as soon as possible.
Sci-Fi Maven says, mark my calendar to buy that next Storm comic. Stay Storm, fuck Cyclops. Shout out to Black Girl Geeky. Thanks for the info.
It's a life motto.
It touched people. It really did. From Geek Soul Brother, listening to Respectability episode, think you're right, D, about Ratchet Rue, but there's also context to consider. I agree that some black nerds wouldn't like Ratchet Rue, but if District 8 was Ratchet, it would be more accepted. I don't know about that.
I see what he's trying to say, but I think if District 8 was Ratchet, I think black nerds would have been like all those racist white kids, like, oh my god, Rue, and I hate that character, because whatever, it would have been, I mean, I get what he's saying, and I understand, I think if all of District 8 was Ratchet, it would be a whole nother set of fucking problems.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Rue was Ratchet Rue, but then there was also, like, a myriad of different black people in District 8. It was just the entire district was Ratchet. Now that falls under the scope of a stereotype, and then fuck you for writing that. Like, anyway, but yeah, thanks for the feedback on that, actually.
Yep, so that is the end of feedback. So you guys, if you want to send us feedback, you can catch us on Twitter. I would say Facebook, but I don't think we on Facebook that much. You can shoot us out a note on Google+, or you can go to nergasmnoir.net/contact, and you can send us an email telling us what you think. You can do a rant. You can do something. Just send us something.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right, so last week we were supposed to watch a video that I didn't watch because I'm terrible.
She didn't do her homework.
Wow! Like how you were quick
to... It was literally like less than 5.
But these other two girls watched it. I'm going to watch it, I promise.
Okay, so... The artist is FKA Twigs. The song is Poppy Pacify. Okay, so at first when I was watching it, I was a little bit uncomfortable. But I wasn't sure if that's what she was going for, because I just felt like this was just way, like, you know how you feel like you walked in or something that you shouldn't be seeing? You'd be like, oh, should I even be here? Do y'all need a moment? So, and I can understand how a lot of people may have been turned off by the video, because it was more of a, like, I guess the closest explanation I can think of was like either rough sex or a kink with, you know, choking and hair pulling and stuff like that. So
closing video.
So I don't know, Melissa, what was your thoughts on it?
I thought it was interesting.
That means she don't like it, y'all.
Think about it, because I'm like, oh, there, people were in the comments like, what is this? Oh my god, da, 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 you're not feminist. Da, da, da. I'm like, okay, what is this?
Whoa.
Okay, we're getting a live reaction from D right now, guys. I kind of just want to record this.
No, my reaction is to the you're not, like, here is the thing. It's the same issue that I have with people who are like, oh, if you're into BDSM, you're like not feminist. Or whatever. It's like the whole point of feminism is for women to be able to have choices. So if this is something that that particular woman is into, they're allowed to be into it. Like, she's not saying women should do, like, there's a difference between being like a woman Republican being like, well, if you want to worry about not having kids, then you should just keep your legs closed instead of getting an abortion. Like, there's a huge difference between that and, yeah, I like rough sex sometimes. Like, I need people to stop conflating the two. Like, don't do it anymore. Stop it.
So, I mean...
And that's why I like this video, because that seemed to bring up the conversation. Then, but... Overall, though, man, at first it started off kind of hot, and then his fingers were, like, totally in her mouth, guys.
Yeah, that was...
Like, I kept wondering, how do his fingers taste? Is she okay with this? Like, do you wash your hands really well before that?
I don't, like, on a personal level, I don't like that. Why are your fingers in my mouth?
Yeah.
That's the part. That's where it became unsexy to me.
I mean, but it's like, a gorgeous...
That's my opinion.
It's a gorgeous video. I mean, the black and white and the... How they... I don't know. Each scene was very beautifully placed. It's just the fingers was... Oh, I'm like, why... Why? But if that's your thing, if you want fingers all up in your mouth, then, hey. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even like touching my head.
I like that in a music video. Like, it just, because I felt like it hadn't, I don't want to say it hasn't been done, because I'm sure it has been done. But I haven't seen it in a while. Like, it took me back to, like, Velvet Rope Janet Jackson type shit. Like, you know, you.
That was my favorite Janet Jackson.
Man, she did some things. But, you know, it sort of took me back to that, where we're introducing this to a form of music that, you know, isn't really, quote unquote, known for it. Of course, they describe her as alternative R&B, which I had a conversation about, before, where I'm just like trying to figure out what they mean by alternative R&B. Like, do you mean like R&B white folks can enjoy too? Or
no, I think it's just weird black people music. Like, you... There's still, like, have you ever watched an old movie or even a new movie? A movie about, like, music in the 60s, and one of the big things with black music artist is crossing over.
Mm-hmm.
Like going into like crossing over into like mainstream pop charts or whatever. That's still a big thing in music. Like R&B charts are kind of like, they're kind of not really looked down upon, but they're kind of snubbed a little bit. So if you go from like the, if you don't fit in the R&B chart and you're like a black female singer or whatever, they don't know what to do with you. It's like, okay, you're not R&B. Are you neo soul? No? Well, then what are you? We don't understand. Like really what she's doing is she's doing like alternative pop music, really.
She's Fiona Apple, except black.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she's
like she the style that she there. Like her style is that Fiona Apple type of style.
Mm-hmm. The problem is it's like urban literature. Like we don't know really how to describe it, so we just put it as alternative. Like that's their way of saying it's black people music, but it's weird black people music.
I think I'd like that title more. But yeah.
I would be able to find music I like way easier.
Let's just search Spotify for weird black people music. I bet there's a playlist. Even though I think that my taste still tends towards, like, I don't know, the older I get, the more I miss 90s R&B. So I don't try to glorify it because not every song in 90s, early 2000s R&B was gold. Like, there's a meeting in my bedroom. There was nothing gold about that song.
A lot of 90s R&B was terrible, but also, it's also a nostalgia thing. Because I find I'm doing the same thing with, like, late 90s, early 2000 ratchet-ass hip-hop music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I listened to Bad... Like, there was a month where I just listened to Baddest Bitch every damn day. Because I was like, this shit is genius, and I didn't even know it at the time. Why didn't I understand how genius this shit is?
I mean, just imagine how your day started for a month.
Well, I just woke up and instantly turned on that song. I was like, yeah, that's right. I'm the baddest bitch.
It was the most confident month you probably ever had. Like, just...
Yeah. I feel like it's helped a little bit with my social anxiety. Like, nah, if I feel a little worried, don't worry about it. Put on Trina's Baddest Bitch, and I'll be fine. I'll live through it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, check out, oh my God, it's called Pacify Poppy, right?
Yep.
And I'm the one that suggested it. But I think that people should check it out, see what you think, see where your comfort level is. It definitely is a... It was a test.
Also, find out if you like alternative R&B.
Yeah.
Since that's apparently a thing now. You're
calling it right. Weird black people. Yeah. So.
Had I known that was an option, I probably would have become a singer when I was younger. Like, weird ass black girl.
You still do it now. You still, like, a fetus.
Not in terms of, like, singers and shit. Like apparently you gotta start when you're like 17. Too late. Anyway, moving on. So, anything else we want to do before we get into the main thing?
Nope.
Anything? Go ahead, Melissa.
I had one last thing because something did happen. Cause I don't know if it was this week or last week. Did we talk about it? Okay, so Azealia Banks calling out Iggy Azalea.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. All right. Let me tell you about this bitch, Azalea Banks. How many times have I had a situation, or any of us, how many times has the world had a situation where they're like, oh my God, Azalea, you're finally getting it. You're finally growing up. You're finally understanding shit. And then 5 minutes later, she fucks it all up. That was this whole situation. Azalea Banks called Iggy Azalea, Igloo Australia, yes! In the midst of calling her out about appropriating black culture and not giving a fuck about black lives. And it was the best moment in fucking Twitter history. It was amazing. It was just great. And then the next day, she was like, and they're trying to take down our father, Bill Cosby. Oh, shit.
No, don't tell me she did that.
She Jill Scotted it, girl. I was like, I had literally just tweeted, oh my God, she's growing. I think I may actually go buy her album now. And then that happened. And I was like, nah, I'm done.
Rooting for you, Azealia. We were rooting for you.
All rooting for you.
Oh my God. Like, Fierce was my alarm clock for a while. Damn it. She just makes it so.
She was talking about, this is why I'm into like African traditional religions, and you know, Black people, we should band together and do this, that, and the other. And I was like, okay, I can feel it. It's a little bit Hotep-ish, but you know what? You got to go through that phase. Go ahead, Azealia. And then the Bill Cosby thing, and I was like, God damn it! But she did give us Igloo Australia, which I will never get rid of.
It's so simple and so genius at the same time.
At the same damn time.
I personally don't give a fuck what Igloo Australia has to say about Mike Brown. I could give less than two shits. Girl, but the fact that she gets called out makes my day. She got
called out and her response was, well, that's not relevant to me. Bitch, your boyfriend and your boss are Black and this has no relevance to you whatsoever. Right. Okay. All right.
But that's,
I'm assuming the whiteness world.
But look, that's that white privilege for you. So.
But Azealia, girl. We're trying.
So close. Okay? So close. You was there. If you had logged off after you called her Igloo Australia.
I was almost like, okay, she's coming back. I'm about to buy her album and I'm about to bump fucking Nude Beach Go-Go like nobody's business. And then all of a sudden,
she gets in her own way.
That's, you know what? Here's the thing. She, and I have to remember that she's fairly young. She's like the same age as my sister. But then again, my sister knows better.
Yeah,
but one of the things about, and then also the situation she's in, being in like the music industry or whatever, makes it a little bit more wonky. But you know, people go through their phases. Like we talked about this on the Black Nerd Respectability Politics episode. I went through that bougie Black shithead phase, and then immediately got over it because. You know, I learned my lesson. I learned, maybe if you're not a little shit to people, maybe if you, you know, if you weren't such a dick, shit like this wouldn't happen. And same thing with self-awareness and Blackness. You go from one extreme to the other. You go, well, everybody's trying to do this and this, that, and the other. And, you know, we have to protect Black men at all costs, even if they're hurting us. And that's not true. You don't have to do that. And it's like Black women don't have to take second place to all of the shit that's going on because it affects us too. And I think she has to get that lesson. I don't know when she's going to get it. I don't know who's going to sit her down and talk to her, because the problem is when people try and sit her down and talk to her, she does that little bratty thing where she's like, well, you guys are stupid and this, that, and the other. So we'll see how that works out. But she's got to go through her phases. Hopefully she gets out of the Hotep phase, though. I'm not here for Hotep phase.
Hotep.
Shout out for that Jill Scott reference, though.
Hotep, you know, the thing that
we don't have to get into it, but I'm just saying.
Well, actually, the thing that upsets me about Jill Scott is one of the reasons that I absolutely love Jill Scott was Jill Scott. Jill Scott in a magazine once talked about how she was sexually assaulted, and like that helped me go through a lot of, helped me deal with a lot of issues with my own sexual assault. And so, like now, seeing her be like, "Oh, we need to defend Bill Cosby," what? Bitch, no.
Right. like, are you serious? But whatever.
And at the same time, I know, like, I can't fault her for that, because each individual person goes through their own individual things. But for me, it's like, no.
Nah. All right. Sorry to derail. I just had to bring that up because Igloo Australia.
Igloo Australia. The best thing. The best thing.
That was the best part of my day that day.
I think that made everybody's day. I think it was trending on Twitter for a long time. Like, for, like, the whole weekend. Anyway, moving on. So, over the week, or however long it took you guys to read it, we have been reading the comic book Outcast of Jupiter. Was that you? Was somebody saying something, or was that just me echoing?
Me echoing.
Okay, so we've been reading the book Outcast of Jupiter. Do you want me to read the synopsis, JP?
Well, it's kind of long, so I'm going to just shorten it.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Outcast of Jupiter, number one. It's about four outcasts that are roaming the Untamed Galaxy, and they take on unusual jobs that challenge their unique abilities. So, in this first edition of the comic book, they are in the middle. You get dropped right in the middle of one of their quote-unquote jobs. Mm-hmm. So you meet Stein, Sirless, is it Denari? Yeah. In the middle of a jailbreak. And that's where the story begins. So this first issue pretty much concentrates on the whole rescue attempt. And kind of gives the landscape, the political landscape of the City of the Seven Faces. So the Outcast is a, well, see, the only, the biggest thing that I liked about this book was that, okay, I know this is going to sound, you know what, fuck it.
You know what?
I barely saw a white face.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's one of the things I was gonna say.
It was one white face, and he ain't come out to the end.
I was gonna say the same damn thing.
Yep.
What was I gonna say? One of the good things about this comic book that I've been having issues with, like, immersion in books and comic books lately, right? Mm-hmm. Because you get tired of hearing the same blah, blah, blah white narrative. So it was nice to, like, read a book and actually get immersed in it and not be like, oh, this is an angsty white boy problem. I don't care. I don't care. And that's, like, that's an issue I've been having with books a lot lately. And so, like, it was nice to not have to deal with that in this book. It was actually very, very... It was a relief. Am I the only person... Did you feel relief?
Okay, so... Okay, so the thing about it... I don't know if this is... Because... The one complaint I have about it is I felt like it was too short. Because I felt like I got to the end too goddamn quickly.
Well, it's only like the first issue, right? Like
I know, but still, I was just like, God damn it, it's gone? It's over?
You wanted more. Well, now you know. You got to buy the rest of them.
But see, I'm used to freaking getting like manga, so I at least have like a... So,
yeah, I'm I was just going to say that. You're person. A manga reader, so you're used to it being like a chapter book of pictures.
So, yeah. But, I kind of like the fact that you get dropped in the middle of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like they didn't expect to babysit us to catch us up with who the characters are. They kind of accepted that we would get, at least we can get an understanding of the characters as we go along through the story.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that's a good... They always tell you when you're writing something, like, you want to start people off in the middle of the action. And I think it did a good job of doing that. Like, you'll understand what's going on eventually, but just, this is the shit that's going on right now.
Right.
And it's interesting and it's fun. I liked it.
You're right, because when it started, I was like, wait, what the hell is going on? And that made me want to continue reading, because I was like, I need to find out what's going on. Why did he drop me here in the middle of this story? You know, so yeah. So Melissa, what were your thoughts?
I liked the action. I liked the whole thing of... No, I liked the idea that this one sort of set up the stuff. I'm hoping that, you know, the next adventure that they're going, which they outlined in the first one, leads to other adventures. I don't want to give any spoilers. But the thing about the criminals, like, I think that just... it reminds, and I'm like a television show person, so it just reminds me, like, okay, every episode we could find out more, and what if there's a twist? And the only part that I found, like, some parts of it were towards the end, it got sort of exposition-y, like, the guy just describes his whole life story. Like, it felt odd to me at that point. I'm like, thought there'd be a lot more attention here, but you just told these people who you should probably be pissed at your life story. Okay.
Well, that's a classic. That's a classic, like, action story trope, you know, like, mm-hmm. why is this person the way that they are? Well, here's them expounding, here's their soliloquy on why they are who they are, you know.
And that's what it really, like, there should have been, like, if this was a play, then everything else would have been darkened.
Yes.
And the prince would have come up and he's like, I was born a poor black child. It's a part maybe loud, but I'm like, okay, we can get to some stuff now. Of course, I thought that the and this was rude of me, but the lead character who's like the commander of their outcast. Yeah, I thought that was a dude. Until the end when I read the biographies of everybody.
Oh, Selesh?
Yeah, I thought he was just like a fancy dude, like.
No, she's a lady with facial scars. That's why I liked her, because I love female tough characters who have the scars.
I thought she was more like alien. Like cool. she wasn't super dark, but she had the ridge. I thought they was like more like ridges on her face.
Mm-hmm. I thought she was Prince, so I was wrong. But I was delighted that I was wrong, because it reminded me, like, her and old dude reminded me of Zoe and Wash.
Oh my god, because he was goofy and she's so serious. And,
yep.
Yeah, I can see. No, yeah. No, I don't want that. Because I already know how this ends. I don't want that. Mm-mm.
No, it's not being written by freaking...
I know, but still. So your character you love will live. I have been hurt before.
And then I thought that, oh God, because it's like I don't want to spoil, but I thought that it would end differently. Like, their whole bargain would be sort of, you know, well, if you do this, then that can happen. But it was just trusting them. I'm like, okay. So
well, I
guess
mean,
we really have an honor code here.
What do you got to lose, considering they was able to do all that? He didn't want them to keep trying. So... And plus, I think he was more, I think his priority was to have them do this mission more than keep them there for their break-in.
Right. So that's why I think that, and I worry about spoilers, but I really think that the first one just sets up the series.
Yeah.
I also loved the pounded yam part, because I love the little asterisk and then it tells you what the word means. I fucking love that. Like, I'm like, oh, good.
I kind of didn't like that.
What? I wouldn't have known.
Well, so. because it kind of threw me off a little bit, because I was like, because I was reading, and then asterisks. I'm like, oh, okay, that just threw me out of the story. Like, I would have rather looked it up or figured it out through content.
You know, I'm actually going to go opposite of... Well, I appreciate the asterisk, but I agree with JP. I would rather... I like that the asterisk is there, but I would rather read for context first. And then if I can't figure it out, okay, let me look at the asterisk.
Right. Like, if he would...
Yeah, I'm the lady man's reader.
I don't know. So I don't know how he could have did that another way. Maybe put like words at the end or something like that. Or I don't know.
Well, some things you could have guessed. Like, you could have guessed uncle.
Yeah.
But when he ordered pounded yam, I wouldn't have known what the fuck he ordered. Like, so I was happy for that. And then when they, the other one was the saying for "You're a good man" or something. I was like, oh, that's cool. But that one, I guess you could have asked. The only one I think I wouldn't have guessed was Pounded Yam. And I just had a conversation about Pounded Yam like a week ago. And so, this relates to my life, kind of, sort of. So,
yeah, but I would have assumed it was a food and kept pushing.
I'd want to know. I don't know why it's important to me to know.
I would have looked up a recipe and kept it pushing.
All right. Oh, so let me just mention a little bit about the artists and the writers for this comic book. So, you know what, D, I'm gonna let you do this because this I can't pronounce shit. So, have fun.
Okay. All right, on the spot. So the artists, there's three artists on this comic book. One of them, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing this right. I get really, really worried about pronouncing people's names wrong. But one of the artists is Shofella, and he's a comic book artist. He does pencils, ink, and colors. He has done a lot of things.
Well, you don't have to read the whole thing. Just, you know.
Well, I'm going to do the quick synopsis. So the artists are Shofella, Funlola, and Shobo. They're all each individual artist, and actually we'll put up the links to their stuff in the show description once the show description comes up. But as far as who publishes it, they actually did it via a Kickstarter. They saved up, or they were able to pretty much... Didn't we? Wait a minute. Didn't we talk about this Kickstarter? I'm so stupid.
I think we...
it just now occurred to me that we talked about this Kickstarter.
Yeah, like, we put a link up about their Kickstarter when they first did it. So, yeah. We didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about it on the show, but we did link them out on the Nerdgasm Twitter account.
Yeah, so basically, this is pretty much an independent project, and it's I would suggest getting it. The link to buy it will also be up on the show description, so make sure you check it out. But yeah, the artist, I'm really, 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 really bad at describing people because I don't want to sound generic, but Shofella's done things for Activision and Sony Online Entertainment, and he's worked on a lot of video games. Where did that come from? Funlola is actually does a lot of art stuff. He's a freelance metalsmith and a sculptor. And Shobo does the writing of Outcasts of Jupiter. And he actually works as a marketing consultant in the Philippines. So yeah, those are the artists. We should do... Actually, that's something to talk about later. Anything else you guys want to add about this review? Well, okay, wait.
Let's talk about the drawing, the art.
Okay, go.
I love the art and the drawing of this comic book. It's okay. I'm trying to remember. What's the name of that show? Eon Flux. It kind of reminded me of that, except it wasn't as weird looking as Eon Flux.
Mm-hmm.
So like everyone kind of looked. They didn't. Like, they had that length to them, but it wasn't as exaggerated. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was really lush with color.
Yeah, there was a lot of rich color, even in, like, darker scenes. I like the character designs. I like the fact that the characters' designs are kind of sharp around the edges. Mm-hmm. Like, I like, especially with Celeste, the female character that Melissa didn't realize was a female character. I like the fact that she's drawn as a very, like, rough character. She's not, like, uber curvy and this and super soft and this, that, and the other. Like, I like the fact that she's drawn as a tough character. And it gives a lot to the feel of it. Let's see.
I guess the lush color makes sense because it's supposed to, the city... that they're in was inspired by Morocco.
Mm-hmm. So I think it even said that they were in made up city in Morocco in 2030, 50, 40. That is the year, you guys, shut up. But yeah, the character designs are really, really good. I don't know. What else do you want to say about the art?
I don't know. I really like the art style. It was just all the lush color. It just seemed like the landscape. Like, it didn't seem... Okay, the landscape didn't seem... It seemed detailed without seeing too...
Seeming too complicated.
Right.
A very good use of lines. Oh, look at that. My sister's been talking to me about art and I've been learning stuff. Look at me go.
So, like, the landscape is really, it has the lush colors, it's clean. It doesn't look too perfect, but it looks like it has a texture to it,
mm-hmm.
which is what I like. So
okay, so if you were to recommend this comic, if you were to recommend this comic to other people, what would be the thing that you would say to convince them to buy it?
I will say, if you are tired of sci-fi futuristic comic books with a whiny white boy, then read this.
Well, you took my description. No, I'm gonna. You know what? I'm gonna say, this is what I'm gonna say. If you want a sci-fi story that's based on a rich culture, but that doesn't whitewash that culture, Firefly. Definitely check out this book. Right. And you know how hard that is for me to say because I love Firefly.
Yeah, I mean, if you like lush art that looks. That looks like it has texture and color, get this comic book. So,
all right, I think Melissa's computer died. So I think we're gonna wrap this up. Do you have anything you want to say before we go? Oh wait, is she back, Melissa?
Yeah, Skype just kicked me off for some reason. It made me reset my password. It was weird.
I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. So, before we actually officially sign off, because me and JP were talking about the art style, what did you think of the art style in the book?
Oh, I liked it. I never have anything to say about art style.
Oh.
So, I like the colors. Like the angles and the shade.
Oh my god, that's basically what we said in the simplest possible way you could say it.
Pretty much.
Oh yay.
I'm so happy. You're like psychic, but simple.
Oh my god.
Okay, so also last thing, if you were to suggest this book to somebody else, what would you say to somebody to as your way of convincing them to read it?
Well, I would put it on that list that they put comic books on for the non-comic book fan. Because it's one of those, it's a tale of adventure. So how would I, let's see, I'm trying to figure out how would I sell it? Because, you know, at first when it opens up, it gave me that, you know, opening scene of Star Wars where they're at, I don't know if it's the opening scene, but where they're at the bar. So I've heard the music playing a little bit in that one. So I would do it that way. Like, if you like adventure, you like a good storyline, then yeah, if you like sci-fi, like this is your shit.
This is definitely very, very, very sci-fi. All right. Well, I'd say that would wrap up our show. What would you guys say? Anything else you guys want to say before we jump off?
Them slags be reading.
Them slags be hashtag them slags be reading.
Like, we should just change the podcast name to them slags be reading.
No, the goal of it is to have people hashtag that instead of the name of our show.
You know what?
Like, that's a realistic goal.
that is. You know what? I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, God damn it. I tweeted all those links without using our regular name.
All right, so it's time to wrap up this episode of Nerdgasm Noir. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Nerdgasm Noir. You can also follow us ladies individually on Twitter as well. Jamie, you can find on at The Way of the Id. Kia, you can find on at The Last Storm. JP, you can find on at Isatis. Melissa, at Black Girl Geeky. And me, at Nani Cool J. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Slacks.